Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Very nice.
God is so good. It's a fitting praise song that we sing getting into our time of the message, not only because God is good and in light of the testimony that Jocelyn had given and my bride had given, but you know, we are in the time of the Olympics as they wrap up, and people are running for a victory, you know, and they're swimming for a victory, and they're doing all these things for a victory, and that's not a bad thing. It's okay to be looking for a victory, but in the Olympics, you're going to get a gold or a silver or a bronze, or you might not get anything at all if you're running for that victory, but we know in the race of faith in Jesus Christ that if we just run, no matter where we are on that race of faith, we're going to get a victory. We all get a crown of glory in heaven above. We're all winners in Jesus. Amen? God is so good. Man, there's going to come a time in life, if it hasn't happened already for you or even for me, there's going to come a time when just consequences will befall us. Just consequences. That just means that the consequences that we are encountering in life, no matter what it is, they're just. They're right. And I don't say this morning to be a naysayer, and I'm not saying any of it to, you know, spark fear. That's not the point, or to manipulate any kind of emotion. I say this because if we live long enough, there's going to come a time and place that we'll have done something in our lives that will cause the Lord to lift his hand of protection from around us. As believers, we're protected by God. He watches over us. He protects us. But if we live long enough, and you know, there's going to come a time in life when something's going to happen that is going to cause him to lift his hand. And what do I mean by this? I mean that when we're walking justly with God, when we're walking in stride with God, and when we're walking on this great path of righteousness in life, when we're living the way that God has called us to live, then the hand of God, it protects us. God hedges us from our enemies. And somebody says, well, what about Job? Job was a little different. That was a testing. Job was being tested. It's not the same thing that I'm talking about this morning. When we're walking in stride with Christ, all the stars, right, they seem to align. You've been there. Maybe you're there right now. You're in that moment of life where just everything is great, right? I don't care what it is. I mean, toast just tastes better. You know, cereal tastes good, you know. No matter what you're doing, if you watch a rerun on TV, it just looks better. Things, relationships are great. Everything is happy. Diets seem easier. I mean, no matter what it is, when you're walking in stride with God, when everything is happening, everything just seems to be going so much better in life. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. My, oh, my, what a beautiful day every single day in life. You know what I'm talking about. That's because when we're living according to the high calling of Christ, when we're walking in stride, when we're protected by God's hand, that's the way life is. Life is so grand, it's so awesome. Actually, that's what Satan said to God, right? If we're going to refer back to the Job situation, when God told Satan that he could test Job, God had told Satan that you could go ahead and test him. Satan said, check it out. He says, have you not made a fence around Job and his house and all that he has on every side? I mean, even Satan knew that God protects his people. Satan says, don't waste my time. You know, you got one of those, you know, invisible fence things around there. If I even get cold, pow, you know, I'm not dealing with that today. I seen what happened to the dog when he tried to get out of that fence. I mean, things just go great, and God protects us. And Satan himself, who is the ultimate, you know, evil in Scripture, he understood this. And so if God protects us when we walk rightly with him, what do you suppose happens when we get to a point in life when we begin to walk somewhat unjustly, when we are no longer walking in stride with God? What happens when, in our own lives, we begin to make decisions outside of the very will of God? And when King Saul, he did this, right? When King Saul did so, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and his enemies overcame him. When King David allowed pride to get a foothold in his life in 2 Samuel 24, the Lord, through the prophet Gad, said to David, David, you know, we'll talk about that a little more in a few minutes, right? Because he had definitely gotten outside of the will of God. The prophet Gad, he went to David because the Lord sent him to him. And he said to David, he said, what shall your punishment be? He says, this is from God. Now, do you want famine to come across the land and to behold the people? Or do you want the sword of your enemy? Or do you want the Lord's plague? Take your pick. He was walking unjustly with God. And even David didn't escape the realm of God lifting his hand of protection from him. And we're tackling this topic because there is a time for just consequences in the life of every believer. Again, I'm not saying that this morning to invoke fear. It's a reality that as believers we deal with. I'm saying it to instill hope because the Lord can't deliver us from the pit if we never acknowledge that we're in the pit. There has to be a time of recognition, a time of understanding, that we come before God. And in Psalm 30, which is where we're going to be in just a moment this morning, in Psalm 30, verses 1 through 5, it's a psalm of answered prayer by King David. At some point, at some time in his life, King David got in trouble. His life was troubled. And King David got to this point where he lifted up his voice in prayer, and we have it documented in Psalm 30. And God lifted David in that situation. He lifted God, lifted David from his despair because King David had recognized that he was in the pit. He recognized he had approached that point in life. And here's what it says in Psalm 31 through 5. It's on the screen this morning. It's awesome. This is David, you know, just crying out to God for answered prayer. He says, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. Lord, you have brought my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and praise the mention of his holiness, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." King David at some point was going through some trials in his life, and he lifted up his prayer to God, and God had lifted him from his despair, rescued him from the situation he was in. And it's evident by Psalm 31 through 5 that David has been rescued, and he's praising God for it. He's excited about it. He wants us to know what happened in that great victory that he got back in Psalm 30. So this morning, I want to look at three steps that led King David to victory, three steps that will change sorrow to sunshine if we find ourselves outside the will of God in 2021. And you can, it for 2022 as well, but we're in 2021. The first step to finding victory if we find ourselves outside the will of God is this. Number one is weeping in the darkness. Weeping in the darkness. And I can appreciate what Jocelyn said this morning because she was certainly there. Weeping in the darkness. King David says, "Lord, I cried out to you for help." He said, "Lord, I cried out to you specifically, you for help." King David, before he wrote Psalm 30, before he actually put that to paper or to parchment, King David was really in a situation, and he had done something in his life that had caused God to remove his protective hand from him. And Psalm 30 itself doesn't tell us what David did. It doesn't even hint at what David did, but he did something, because you can't be delivered from something unless you've done something. But what did David do? Many people ask, scholars ask, but what did he do? What happened? And they try to really figure it out. You know, but we need to really know what David got into. Which sin did he commit that caused him to write, you know, this psalm? You know, he could have been troubled for his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, or for committing murder for hire when he had Uriah the Hittite wrongly killed. It could have been for his pridefulness when he conducted a census of Israel, and Joab had warned him against that. You know that. Or it could have been one of a number of other reasons, right? We don't know. Whatever King David did, it has absolutely nothing to do with the psalm that he wrote. What he did that was wrong has nothing to do with the point. The point is, in this psalm, is that he recognized he did something and he turned to God. That's the important part. The psalm was written as a glorious reminder that when we have drifted away from God, God has not drifted away from us. However, if and when we do drift away, there will be a time of just consequences. And during this time, it is going to be likened sort of, I think, to the Garden of Eden experience when God separated Adam and Eve from his presence because of their sin and cast them out of the garden. What a difficult time. The first two created beings, they had it made, man. They had a beautiful garden, not like mine. I can't keep on going. The rabbits keep eating it. Rabbits didn't eat theirs. And then they did what they weren't supposed to do and received just consequences. And what a struggling time for humanity ever since that sin. We suffer today from the just consequences then. And when you read Psalm 30, we can see that David at some point was being badgered and pursued by his enemies. David says, "There was a time that my soul was in Sheol." So we know something bad was going on in David's life. He said, "There was a time that my soul was in Sheol." Sheol is the Old Testament place of the disembodied spirits. It's where lifelessness existed, awaiting for the day of judgment or the day of glory. Sheol was a place of darkness. We've talked about that before. Sheol was the place that the Old Testament saints went to as they looked forward to the day of Christ. It wasn't to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. In the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't died for the sins of the world. So Sheol was the place that they went to awaiting for the day of Christ. And David says that my soul was in the pit. That in his very life, he's still alive, he's breathing, his blood is flowing. He's got a 40-hour work week ahead of him. He's married, he's got the grind, he's got kids, but he says, my soul was in the pit. It was in darkness. David is telling us that when I was outside of the hand of God, I found myself to be in the land of Sheol, in darkness of night, in a form of lifelessness. I was in actually a state of limbo. It was sort of like groundhog. Each and every day it repeated itself. Anguish and anger and anguish and anger. David said, I was in sorrow. I found myself weeping and crying out to the Lord. King David wept in despair. And I think the message for us in that is he's telling us today that it's okay to weep in despair. It's actually a recognition of an understanding of where we are. And here King David, he's sort of normalizing this idea of weeping. He's letting us see that it's a part of the process. It's a step in the healing progression. David is where he is for a reason. There comes this point of understanding. So many times we look at a time of sorrow through the lens of pity. Are you with me? Sometimes we look at it through a lens of pity, when in reality, according to King David, there's a season in life for sorrow. It's a part of the process. It shouldn't be shame. It shouldn't be pity. It's a part of the process of restoration. I think he's telling us not to look down on ourselves when the hand of God seems so far from us. When we come to the realization that we are in a position outside of the will of God, that we're outside of Eden with Adam and Eve, then weeping becomes a part of the process for deliverance. It means we've come to the realization that we are outside of the will of God, that we are in the dark. And I think that's a good thing. King David wrote, Lord, I was in the pit. My enemies were standing over me. I was helpless. Therefore, I cried out to you, realizing that I had been distanced from you. If you're in Sheol, if you're in the place of disembodied spirits awaiting the day of Christ, you're not with God. And David said, I felt like I wasn't with you. It was a point in time in my life. Wow. King David is telling us that if we find ourselves there, it's okay to cry out to God. In fact, it's in these times often it's the only thing that we can do. It's a teachable moment for us. It's that part of learning in life. When we find ourselves outside the will of God in darkness, crying out to God is really the first step to victory in our lives. It's the first step to restoration. The second step in finding victory this morning is this. If we find ourselves outside the will of God, it's this. Number two, patiently awaiting the light. Patiently await the light. Oh, man, not that patience thing, right, Jocelyn? Oh, my goodness, no. Not that patient thing. King David said, Lord, when I was outside of your protective hand, I found myself to be in the land of Sheol in the darkness of night in a form of lifelessness. But I cried out to you, weeping, he said, and you brought my soul up out of Sheol, out of the dark. And though the weeping lasted through the night, he said, joy came in the morning light. Amen. He said, though the weeping lasted throughout the night, that in the darkness I cried out to you. I seem so distant from you. You're God. You're alive. You're full of goodness. There's no bad in you. But in me, I'm in the pit. I'm in darkness. I'm in Sheol. I feel so distant from you. And that lasted for a night. But in the morning light, joy came in the morning. King David is telling us that darkness is not the end, that sorrow and weeping is not the end. It's not the completion. King David is telling us, just as the sun sets, check it out, so it shall rise again. So it shall rise again. But somebody says, Pastor Dave, it's so dark outside the will of God. It's so dark. It's so dark outside the will of God. And I would agree with you, but it should make it that much easier to see the light at the end of the tunnel when we're standing in that darkness. Are you with me? David in Psalm 30, he says, he's informing his readers, you and I, he says, saying, the Lord's anger is but for a moment, but his favor, he says, check it out, is for a lifetime. There's a teachable moment in our darkness. Just because we're separated from God, we're not outside of God. There's a teachable moment in what is happening here. King David, despite the sin that was in his life, despite adultery, murder, and pride, God said to David in 2 Samuel 7, he said, I will establish my covenant with you. I will establish the throne, check it out, of your kingdom forever. Despite sin, despite the things that are happening in your life, though they might be bad, they might be dishonoring, they might be outside my will, if your heart is with me, then I'm with you. There might be some just consequences coming your way. Okay, that's not a time to run from me. It's a time to run to me, God says. What a powerful thing. I think it's super powerful. King David had fallen into darkness. King David had made some rather bad decisions, but when King David came to the realization that he was no longer hedged in by the protective hand of God, he turned from his ways and God heard his cry, rescuing him from darkness, delivering him into the marvelous light of God's glory. In salvation, if you think about it, prayerfully we're all saved here today, salvation in many ways functions the exact same way. Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And again, Jesus says, speaking of believers, those that believe in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. And again, in John 10, Jesus says, I give eternal life to those that believe, and nobody is able to snatch them out of my hand. We're going to get some just consequences, and we ain't going to like them. My dad gave me some just consequences when I was a boy, and I'm going to get just consequences from God as an adult. I mentioned earlier that when King David committed sin, when he fell outside of the protective hand of God back in 2 Samuel 24, the prophet Gad went to him to deliver a word from God saying to David, this is what Gad said. I mean, this is, if I was David, I probably would have had Gad killed with a sword, but David didn't. But Gad came to David and he said, because of his sin, he said, what shall your punishment be? Famine, the sword of your enemy, or a plague from God? Pick one, and none of them are good. And guess what David did, right? He chose to be punished with the plague from the Lord because, as King David mentioned, saying, for the Lord's mercies are great, do not let me fall into the hands of my enemies. And while King David chose the plague of the Lord over the nation of Israel, he knew that because he was in God and because of God's grace and mercy, that God would relent at some point where David knew his enemies wouldn't. And it says in the scripture that God ended up relenting because of his mercies for his beloved. And it's a powerful, powerful section of scripture. I mean, it's a beautiful section. If you've never really read it, I mean, go back and read that. It's awesome. King David knew that if he cried out to the Lord in his darkness, in his darkest hour, rejecting the bad decisions that he made and patiently waited for the light, that the Lord would be very merciful to him. And that's the thing about God. That's why he sent Christ to us, the great light, to flush out darkness. That's why he sent Jesus into this world. Jesus says of himself in John 8, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it was Isaiah that said when prophesying about the coming of Christ, he said, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them, and they will rejoice. And just as darkness of night is but for a season, so too is the darkness of our lives for a season. In a fallen world, darkness is flushed out by light, just as a darkened spirit is made bright in the power of Jesus Christ. I've said this before and I'll say it again, that in a fallen world, darkness is a natural phenomenon. It's natural. I mean, if you want light, you have to turn one on. Darkness is what we have absent light. Darkness exists all the time because of a fallen world. If it wasn't for the stars shining bright in the universe, if it wasn't for Toledo Edison, we'd be in the dark. We'd be in darkness all the time. Total darkness is where we would be. But in Christ, our soul is filled with light and our paths are made straight. And because of this, now check this out this morning. Because of this, we are told in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ that if we walk in the light in this life, right, if we run that race of faith on that track, we don't have to get the gold medal. We don't have to get a silver medal. We don't have to get a bronze medal. We just got to run the race. And I like God. And sometimes I think God had his hand, in the educational system because C's equal degrees, man. And I needed that when I went through college because I was not an A student, I can tell you that. So, I'm glad I didn't have to have an A to get a degree or a B to get a degree. I had a C minus minus, and I may have cheated once or twice. And I got just consequences because of it. But it says in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ that if we walk in the light in this light, then we will stand in the eternal light in the afterlife. Revelation 22 says concerning heaven, there will no longer be any night. Check it out. There will no longer be any night, and there will be no need for a lamp or the sun because the Lord our God will illuminate us forever and ever in him. Amen? Wow, we will have returned to Eden where there is no more darkness. And I'm sorry, if you work for the electric company, you will be unemployed. Therefore, in our present life, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning light. Amen. God is so good. The third step to finding victory, if we find ourselves outside of the will of God, is this morning. And this is where it's going to come in. I mean, it's praise God in song form. I mean, we had all four of them songs we could choose to play when we leave here, and Pastor Davey's going to struggle to figure out which one we're going to do on the exit. But the step number three, as we learn from King David, is praise God in song form. King David says, not only shall we bless the Lord and celebrate in joy, right, when we come through a season of mourning, when we escape darkness into the light, but he said, we shall acknowledge the Lord in song form. In song form. I love it. King David, after a season of darkness, a time when he was distanced from God, there came a time when he actually turned from his ways. He had this revelation of what was going on. He acknowledged God. He cried out to God. And in doing so, David eventually found himself standing again in a right relationship with God. Amen? He found himself standing in that great and wonderful and marvelous light. Worship team, come forward. And because of this, King David said, when we come through the season of darkness and God has healed us, he says in Psalm 30, he says, sing praise to the Lord. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and praise the mention of his holiness, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Amen? It tells us that favor will come after just consequences. If we cry out to him, patiently awaiting for him, favor will come. And here's our victory this morning. If we're in a season of darkness and we give ourselves wholly unto God, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly unto God, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Check it out. When we see that light, and for some listening online or that's here today, maybe it's this morning, I don't know. But when we see that light, don't take this the wrong way, but it's not time to celebrate. It's not time to celebrate. Pastor Dave, what do you mean by saying that it's not time to celebrate? That seemed like an odd thing to throw in there. King David didn't say to celebrate. He said to praise God in song form by singing praises to the Lord and his glory. Amen? You can celebrate later at your favorite restaurant. But he said the first thing we're to do is to sing praises to God. It's not a time to celebrate. This moment's about God, David says, not about David. It's about giving God his just due. So here's our motivation this morning. Those times of darkness in our life can be vanquished, as we all know, by the light of Christ if we only seek him. Our motivation is that there is a light for each and every one of us at the end of the tunnel. Our biological GPS might not be working right now. It might say redirecting over and over as we wander around in this life. The nighttime darkness might have an advantage over us at the moment as it encircles us and ensnares us. The enemy might be hidden by a veil of darkness, but David says joy comes in the morning. There will again be a season when victory will be ours. There will be a season again when victory will be ours. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to praise God in song form. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great and awesome day that you've given us. We thank you for Wonder Ministries. We thank you for those that attend in person, those that listen online, and those that might receive this message 25 years from now. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for the word of King David through Psalm 30 and for all the books of your holy work, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that even though we suffer unjust consequences, we also get a season of victory. We thank you, Lord, that no matter how we run that race of life, whether we're last or first, Lord, we're running to you and we're in you. And we thank you from the book of the Revelation chapter 22 that you become the great light in us and that no more darkness will be found in us. Bless us, Father God, as we prepare to leave today, as we sing one more song to you today, as we praise you in song form. Guide us and lead us, Lord, step by step, and be that constant reminder of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and praise God one more time.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. turned it for good. 'Cause you turned it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. You turned it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. 'Cause you turned it for good. 'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. 'Cause you turned it for good. 'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. 'Cause you turned it for good. 'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. 'Cause you turned it for good. Singing, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory.
I'm gonna see a victory.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the
I'm actually going to try to post this message online with that song. The YouTube cops will probably boot me off, and I'll get my just consequences out of that. But I'll keep motivated and keep on going. I want you to know that everyone here at Wonder Ministries and listening online, I love you. If you have a moment of darkness and you haven't found victory yet, send me a text or an email. Give me a phone call. Talk with one of the elders of the church. We'll be praying for you. And I want you to know that Wonder Ministries loves everyone as well. God bless y'all. Have an awesome and blessed week. And let's hit that chorus one more time on the way out the door.
I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you. Turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. So I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.